Today on Real Radio.
So whatever issue is going on in your life, I want you to be encouraged. Pray and talk to God about it. Take a walk. Drive. Whatever it takes. Climb a tree, for that matter. But talk to God about it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the first verses of chapter 18, wherein the Messiah gives an analogy on prayer. What is prayer? As a believer, do you pray enough? Do you somehow think your prayers are not worthy to be heard? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It.
People will cry and moan and weep over the situation, and then you ask them, have you prayed about it? No. Well, do you know what that means? It means it's not bad enough yet. Your situation hasn't gotten bad enough yet. I'm being sarcastic right now. We should be praying all the time. Why? Because when a catastrophe comes, we can have great peace knowing, hey, I've been praying. This catastrophe has come to me. Oh, Lord God, speak to me. Show me what you want me to do. Make it a priority. And God, who is always listening, will answer us. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You say, now come on. How can I be on my knees all day long? I got to go to work. I got to do my thing. That's not what the Bible didn't say, stay on your knees all day. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That verse alone declares that we need to be in the attitude of prayer. Attitude of prayer. That's constant. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? As a believer, when you wake up in the morning before your feet hit the ground, aren't you already conscious of God before your feet hit the ground? When you wake up and you're kind of in that weird zone, it's like, am I waking up or am I dreaming or is this, what day of the week is this? I know it's going to be a tough day when it's Sunday and I wake up and what day of the week is this? Man, within, I'm going to say milliseconds, nanoseconds of time, doesn't your heart go to the fact, oh God, thank you, Lord, thank you. This morning I got up as I usually do. Lord, thank you for keeping us through the night. And then I always say before, because I'm so pathetic, I need God's help constantly. Before my feet hit the ground, I have a little routine. And that is, Lord, fill me with your spirit that I would walk with you today in Jesus' name. And then my feet roll off the bed, and then my feet touch the ground. I make it a big point to do that. Covered. Thanks, God. But that's important. Pray without ceasing is walking about, living, constantly talking to God. God, what about this? I don't know if you saw the sunrise this morning, but you saw that peachy, sherbet-looking sky, and you say, Lord, thank you. You see that flower? I've never seen that flower before. That is an amazing... God, you're awesome. Look at that flower. Isn't God awesome? Just amazing stuff. What is that? That can't be real. That's a flower. That's awesome! God is amazing. Wherever you go, whatever you do, look for God in things. Ask him, speak, Lord, how do you want me to respond? Remember, hey, we just came out of Christmas. Were you not praying, oh God, give me a parking spot in the name of Jesus? Did you not pray that prayer? You were immersed in a situation that required you to be thinking prayer. God would say to us today, every moment you move and breathe, Jack, is a situation that requires prayer. Be in the attitude of prayer. You can pray while you're driving down the street. You can pray while you're talking to people. Did you know that? Sometimes I'm praying while I'm delivering a message. Literally, God's doing his thing. My mouth's flapping and I'm saying, Lord, help me out here. Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me the next line that you want me to say. It's pretty wild, pretty awesome. But make it a priority. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Listen, let your requests be made known unto God. That verse goes on to say, in the peace of God. Don't you want peace? Are you troubled? Are you anxious? Here's the verse Take your pill. It's Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Listen, the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Friends, you need to take that verse and say, God, this is my priority. I am not going to be anxious for this. I'm losing my job. I'm losing my home or whatever is going on right now. God, how are we going to make it? Listen, you're going to cry out to Him. This is real life stuff. God's Bible is big enough for the events coming to this world. The only way that you're going to be able to survive and I'm going to be able to survive is that we pray always and not faint, not give up. And then the Bible says in the Amplified Version of the Bible, Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times. The word is on every occasion and every season in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, to keep alert and to watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Pray at all times. That's an amazing and awesome thing that is. And then also this, look at the latter end of verse 1. Men ought not to lose heart. That means this, discipline. We need to talk to a God who wants to hear from us, and talking to God, we need to make it our discipline. We all know what discipline is. Discipline is an act that you do on a routine basis, or we would say religiously. It's something that's not always fun or easy or whatever, but you discipline yourself to do it. For example, we need to teach our children to be disciplined about perseverance in life. We need to teach ourselves that we need to see this all the way through to the end, don't we? Discipline implies that we'd stay strong at it until we reach the finish. Discipline. A person involved in competition is very familiar with discipline. I'm going to do this. Paul the Apostle said, I'm going to finish the race in which Christ has set me on. To be disciplined. Every one of us as believers need to be disciplined. We will not lose heart if we're disciplined. Prayer brings, listen, we need to be disciplined because prayer brings my emotions under control. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you suffer from the attack of emotions? Every one of us, to some degree, some greater, some less. You say, well, how do you know? Well, how are you prone to be discouraged from time to time? Do you ever have fear or doubts about something? You ever have a tendency to worry? That plays upon our emotions. How do you get your emotions under control? Jesus said it. Listen, pray always and don't faint. Why do we faint? Why do we cave in? Why do we give up? Because emotions have gotten the best of us because we haven't prayed. Are you panicking? You're not praying. Are you prone to worry and fear, doubt? You're not praying. Look, I know this from experience. My mother taught me how to worry. She taught all of us kids how to worry. I tell you, becoming a Christian set me free from that. It's awesome. But maybe you worry. You say, how do I know? You biting your fingernails? Stomach upset? Hard of sleeping? Rest in the Lord. But you have to discipline yourself. Well, how do I do that? You need to pray. Talk to God. He's waiting. Listen, it's certainly this. If we do not pray, we will lose heart. And that's a fact. The Bible says in Psalm 42:5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. You will be downcast unless you go to the Word of God. So whatever issue is going on in your life, I want you to be encouraged. Pray and talk to God about it. Take a walk, drive, whatever it takes. Climb a tree for that matter, but talk to God. Always pray and never lose heart. And then third, in verses 2-3, we read this. Our God is waiting to hear from us, and we need to make talking to God our strength. This is good stuff. He says there that there was this certain judge who did not fear God nor regard man. That's not a good judge to have. But there was also, verse 3, this widow of that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to take out your highlighter and your pen. You're going to want to see this. Remember, Jesus is teaching a parable. A parable, parabolic. Para, alongside. Bolic, or bolo, teaching, a truth. He's throwing a truth alongside the listener, and this is what it is. It is a parable of contrast. meaning Jesus is teaching us that the judge is not like God and the woman, widow, is not like us. Watch this. When Jesus uses the word and she, here it is, came to him. This is a great word. It means that she would not give up, but showed up everywhere the judge was. She was not only at the courthouse, she was at his house. In the parable, wherever he went, she was there. Have you ever had anybody like that in your life? I mean, they're like a lost puppy. It's like, golly. Oh, there they are. And what are you doing here? She was everywhere, and wherever she was, wherever he was, she would say to him publicly her case. She's pursuing him. Remember, he doesn't care, and she is on him like white on rice. In the words of Justin Alfred, like white on rice. He can't get away from her. Now listen, God is not like this. I'm going to give you a string of verses. Get ready. Matthew 7:7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Not whine and beg and belabor it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and to him who finds or not finds, it will be found by him, and knocks, it will be opened unto him. Jesus says, come on. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. The Bible says, come on. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. The Bible says, come. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a priest who cannot be sympathized with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Does that sound like a God who's trying to ignore you? Not at all. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Bible says, come to God. And that's our strength. What a great thing that is. Our strength is found when we pray. Listen, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. How strong are we? Well, I don't know. How strong is God? In the situation, church, listen, in the situation that you are either in right now or that you're approaching or that you may fear may come upon you, listen to this. Because of doubt, because of unbelief, because we don't read the Bible to assimilate it into our very lives as a discipline, it's not a priority. And so we begin to play with this thing of prayer. Oh, why should I go to a prayer meeting? Or why should I pray about this? My friend, it should be the exact opposite. You say, well, Pastor, this message doesn't apply to me because things are going great in my life. Listen, cheer up. Difficult days are coming for you. And you need to be praying now. You need to be praying. But listen, in prayer is our strength. And that is a great promise. Point number two is this. Don't just stand there, pray about it. Christian, your God is willing to answer you. I love this. I wish I knew this when I was a new Christian. It took 30 years for me to get it. But God is willing to answer you and I. Look at verses 4 through 6. And he would not for a while, that is, the judge wouldn't listen to her, he wouldn't answer her. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Contrast. I love this. The Lord is never avoiding you, Christian. You need to slap yourself right now and hear that. Don't you feel, though? Come on. Don't you feel at times God's avoiding you? Yes, you do. Do you feel like God doesn't answer you sometimes? Oh, yeah, you do. But guess what? That's not what's going on. You say, oh, yeah, you don't know. I've been praying about this thing. I never got an answer. Oh, no. You're getting an answer. In fact, I'm going to give you an argument in a moment that he answers you faster than you think. Here's the truth. You and I, because we're viewing prayer and the answer to prayer often wrong, we miss the answer because we don't approve of the answer. The answer comes. It's like getting something in the mail. It's like, what? What's this? Maybe you've been waiting for something and it comes in an envelope that you were expecting to be red, white, and blue. And it comes brown and you look at it and go, and you throw it away. What's this? It was the answer, but it didn't meet your approval. And you and I are tempted to be the lords of our own life. Dear God, now this is what I want you to do. And you tell God what to do. It's kind of like that little boy. Dr. J. Vernon McGee talks about that little boy who said, Dear God, I want a bicycle for Christmas. And so he goes downstairs and he says, Daddy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. And the dad says, go ask your mom. And so the kid goes to the mom and says, Mommy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. So back and forth for months, Mommy, Daddy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. Now, what does the kid want? He wants a bicycle. What do you want? Insert it into that line, into this story. So finally, the kid's so frustrated, and the parents tell him, look, Junior, it doesn't look very good for you to get a bicycle this year. Things are tough. So the parents said, why don't you pray about it, Johnny? You just pray about it and see what God says. No, put the blame on God there. You just pray about it. So the mom and little boy driving home from school one day, and the mom says, I got to pull over. I got to get something from the store. And you remember back in the old days, they used to have a little statue of Mary holding baby Jesus on the dashboard glued onto the dash of the car, which always cracked me up because they always had Mary facing at you. Why don't you turn her around so you can see where you're going? What do you have her looking at you for? Turn around looking at the highway. And the little boy looked around. He had his little sack lunch, and the mom's out of the car, and he looks around, and he snaps Mary off at the ankles, puts her in the bag, and rolls up his brown bag, and he says, and he folds his hands, and he says, Dear God, if you ever want to see your son again, you'll get me that bicycle. A lot of Christians pray like that. I want it this way. God, who knows best, gives us the answer. We don't identify it and recognize the answer when it comes. He's not avoiding you. He's not avoiding you at all. Listen to this. Here's my argument. I believe God hears us instantly, and sometimes he answers instantly, maybe an hour or two later. I don't know. But I'm convinced now God answers my prayers, and I don't recognize his answer when it comes because I don't approve of the answer. Here it is. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Listen to this carefully. I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no bread, no meat, no wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Verse 10. Suddenly the hand of the angel had touched me, which made me to tremble. I went to my knees and on the palms of my hands. Verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the, what is it? First day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me these 21 days. Demonic forces, demonic powers of the prince of Persia fighting with the angel in the atmosphere and delay of bringing the answer to Daniel. When was his prayer heard? The first day. When was the answer given? The first day. The Bible tells us there's demonic realms that are involved. Certainly true. There's also the fact that I often don't recognize. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cries. That's you and I. I know that there's a sense of unworthiness and fear that we have, but it's wrong. I want to say to you with all love, grow up. Get over it. Deal with it. You are worthy through Jesus Christ. All of us are sinners. None of us deserve heaven, but we're going. That's part of the sweetness of it all. Listen, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why he's the righteous one. You say, yeah, but it just said here that his ear and eye is always open to listen and to hear the prayer of the righteous. That's right. God hears me every time I pray. Well, you arrogant pastor, you. No. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, but the Bible says that the Lord has declared me righteous. I believe what's written. Therefore, when I pray, like John 15:7, Jesus says, pray my word, the Bible, and I'll answer you. So how do you get answered prayer? Pray Bible. God loves to hear Bible in our prayer. And when I pray that, me, a rotten little stinking sinner, when I pray Bible, I know he's going to answer. And I expect the answer. We need to do that. And then also this, your God is willing to answer you. Verses 4 and 5, the Lord is never tired of you. He's never tired. The Bible says here, but afterward he said within himself, I don't fear God, I don't like people, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. You got to mark this word weary. Hupotadzo. In Greek. So what does that mean? It means this. It means to strike the eye repeatedly. It's a term taken from the Greek Olympics for a boxer. When a boxer hits the eye, boom, hey, he thinks, his eye's getting red. What does a boxer do when he sees his opponent's eye getting red? He hits it again. On the eyeball. In fact, he forgets the other parts. If I can open up that eye, he's going to bleed. That's the word that this woman, the judge says, that's it. She is boxing my eye to the point of bleeding. She's not hitting him. It's worse. She's everywhere he goes. I want justice. I want justice. I want you to avenge me of my enemy. And the judge says, I've had it. That's it. She's giving me a black eye. She's driving me crazy. I'm going to answer her. You guys, God's not like that. You and I suffer so much unnecessarily because we don't ask God to get involved in the things of our lives. Don't raise your hand. How many of you are single? Do you want a husband? Do you want a wife?
Yep.
Well, what are you doing about it?
Oh, man, I'm dressing nice, using the right cologne.
I mean, take care of yourself. You know, that's fine. Do all that stuff. No one wants you around here stinking and looking ugly. That's fine. But that's not how you do it. Why don't you pray and God will bring her or God will bring him? You say, oh yeah, well, I was just supposed to pray and she's like drop onto my porch. No, you pray and you get up and you live your life for the glory of God, and guess what? You're gonna bump into him. You're gonna bump into her. So many people struggle unnecessarily because they're not asking him. It's not good. He wants to answer us. And you don't have to punch his eye out regarding that. And we whine. We begin to whine to God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:7 that Paul the Apostle had a sickness. And he asked God 3 times to take it away. God didn't take it away. Then it says that God spoke to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It. It's actually a mini-series which is taken from chapter 18 of Luke's New Testament narrative, part of our teacher's greater verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament record, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder that if you haven't logged on to the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit, realradioactive.org. Just a quick point and click will take you to podcasts, MP3s, special offers, resources, even our television outreach, Journey with Jack Hibbs, which is seen on television as well as on hischannel.com. You'll find it all at the new realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.